Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Shower, shave, and coffee, it's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today, it's Dusty and Cam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
I gotta see it!
Dusty and Cam on 1080 The Fan.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
Let's go, babe. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
Good morning. Happy Football Friday to you, the 13th of December, 2019. Friday the 13th. Scary.
Oh, wait a minute. It is.
Yeah,
good morning,
buddy.
Everybody. Yeah, Friday the 13th, huh?
That's
the Christmas holiday. You can't put scariness in Christmas.
It seems weird having a Friday scary the 13th
Santa?
On
Well, you do dress Santa
Christmas
up as
season.
A hipster, so that's scary enough.
That's really bugging you this
it
week.
Bugs
That's
the
third
out of
time
me.
You've brought that
drives
up this week.
Drives me nuts.
I love it.
Drives me in. I mean, that's nobody else does that. Santa doesn't change.
I don't know.
I'm sure Austin, Texas might have one. No, is he the only one?
No, Santa in the off season can wear hipster gear. Even in the off season.
In the off season.
This is this season.
See, I thought there was no off season for Santa.
Well, there's a little off season, but this is travel season. This is working hour.
Yeah, haven't you seen the movie The Santa Claus?
Or any Santa where movie goes, where
you can't
Santa's
dress up like that. Santa doesn't have arm tattoos.
Naughty or nice.
How many other times have you seen Santa's forearms, though?
It's a good point. So but that, other than that, he doesn't do that. Santa's not doing that. He smells like gingerbread and what else does he smell like? Peppermint.
What if he's sleeved up? You just don't know. He wears gloves. What if he has hand tattoos because he wears his white gloves?
No.
We established that he smells like beet casserole and kombucha.
Yeah, that's what he does smell like. Yes. He
what if...
dumps himself with kombucha scent.
If he has like a lower back tattoo of holly and...
Yeah, okay. Mistletoe down
mistletoe.
There?
Mistletoe. Oh, not on the lower back. Good. But it is a Friday the 13th. Happy breakfast.
It is Friday.
Everybody's not eating breakfast right now.
Well, it's only 6 o'clock.
We're talking breakfast, about Santa
coffee.
With mistletoe on his lower back.
Got to be smiling, and there's only a couple weeks till Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. We are officially 12 days away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yep. 12 days away from the big day.
Can we start counting? Start singing the song, 12 Days of Christmas? So we start just going all the way down?
Oh, yeah. I guess that's when it starts.
You ever have to sing that? You know it from the top of your head?
I used to know it, but not. I mean, that's a really hard song to get.
I was in fifth grade, I was the 5 golden rings.
Oh, really?
That was my line.
Did you hit the high note? That's a high note. That's a high note line.
That's fifth grade.
5 golden rings.
You know how each kid gets his part and you sing it and you go all the way down? Yeah, I was 5 golden rings guy.
That's a, hey.
There's a lot of pressure. I don't know, man. That was back in the day when we used to have the kids program, you know, your grade school put together a holiday show.
Yep.
And you'd have like a little mini pageant.
Yep.
Or, I don't know if it's a pageant. What was it? It's like a mini Christmas show.
Yeah. I remember Santa came one year and Santa came right down the pipe. Everybody in the gym at West Union Elementary was jammed in there. And Santa came right down the middle, and then the next year...
You don't do it anymore.
No.
Don't do it anymore.
No more Santa.
Do you guys see how next year all of the holidays are falling on all the best days of the week, with Christmas included?
I like that.
That basically, starting with Valentine's Day, that's a Friday. 4th of July.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you're just going in order.
Just means you don't have to do something on a weeknight.
Hold up. That doesn't even rank in the top 10.
Scratch it. Doesn't even matter. 4th of July on a Saturday.
Oh, that's great.
It'd be nicer if you could miss a day.
Where's Memorial Day?
But
where's Memorial Day fall?
It's on a Monday.
I don't know, but Halloween is on a Saturday. Christmas is on a Friday, and New Year's Day is on a Friday.
Oh, that's... Can we just repeat this life over and over again? Can we have 2020?
We should have Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve always be on Thursday with the Friday off after every year.
Spectacular.
2020. We also will have... this year, we had two Friday the 13th. This is our second one. But it is the... We're going like back to back here because it's our second one this football season.
Yeah.
September. When was the last one? September, we had
a Friday the 13th. You believe in that luck stuff?
No, but
yeah, it's Friday the 13th.
I mean, it's Friday the 13th.
It's a great day.
Well, hold on.
Football Friday.
Let me knock on wood because I don't want anything bad to happen. But next year we have two Friday the 13ths again, which is actually a rarity because it'll be the third year in a row that we have two Friday the 13ths, 3 years in a row. And then we're going to go 2021, 2022. We only have it once. Buck said, it seems like we've had a lot of them this year. And so I went and I looked it up. And you can actually look these things up. The internet is a great thing.
It is. Did you happen to see the meme of the kids at the Christmas tree and they're going to sit on the Santa's lap, and then it's a slow motion video of the Grinch coming out from behind the trees and watching those kids. Do you see that one yet? But do yourself a favor. Just search the internet. Just go Grinch scares kids. There's only a couple times in life in Christmas that you should scare your children.
Yeah.
Santa, by the way, every picture is going to, I'm sure you get the screaming kid picture. You guys, do you get the acceptance level of Santa when they sit on Santa's lap picture? You know what I'm talking about? Or are they still at the squirmy, get off me, I don't want to do this?
No, they're all about it.
I'm screaming, all about it?
All about it.
Okay, so you've got that stage.
Took little man to Disneyland and he was terrified this summer of the characters. Loves them now, including Santa.
You got to get over that.
He loves it.
Right.
Loves it.
Yeah,
so
you're going to have the obligatory get off me. Don't want to do it. Screaming Santa. This one's good. This one's...
We have...
Scare your kids with the Grinch.
My daughter's second Christmas card is her... Like, they took the picture at the perfect time, and we're like, yeah, we want that one. She is arms out, reaching, and she's crying, jumping off of Santa's lap.
Perfect.
Like, it's a great Christmas
card.
Perfect.
Every Santa's got to love that. Even hipster Santa.
Mm. We got a lot of people texting in Cinco de Mayo on a Taco Tuesday next year, too. Are you kidding?
It sounds too perfect.
What the heck? This is great.
We need to just replicate the calendar and then start New Year's on whatever day that requires us to do
everything. Why do we gotta keep moving
it? Give me more.
Why do we gotta keep moving?
I don't know. Like, we could just skip a couple days and just start to say that actually a Thursday is really a Saturday. We'll just reset it if we want.
We've already argued this, though, is that Halloween needs to always be on a Saturday.
Ooh, yeah. What day is Halloween on next year? Friday?
It's on a Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, God. It's so good.
It's got to be a Friday or Saturday, but... School night's not as good.
Specifically.
My favorite college football weekend is when Halloween falls on a Saturday. Because Utah, it doesn't matter. You could be at the worst student section. Stanford student section will be lit on a Saturday Halloween game. Yeah. Like, it will be a fun student section because it's Halloween. Everybody loves Halloween. You go to the football game, you're going to be extra amped up.
Do we get... Oregon State versus Oklahoma State again, so we get orange and black on Saturday. Do we get that again? I mean, that's the ultimate.
Well, they played on like a Thursday this year.
Yeah, they did. We're never going to get it again. Too bad.
So I don't know. They usually have like a day in between, you know? That sucks. Or a year in between. Okay.
Well, what are you going to do today? I mean, are we going to talk sports today?
Maybe.
Do we have to?
Sure.
All right. Some talk sports.
I mean, we don't.
I mean, Larry Scott made some things. Did you see that baseball is eliminating marijuana off their banned substance list?
Yeah.
You saw that?
Which, that's a big hit to Stephen A. Smith's career, you know?
You know, if baseball does that, does that mean basketball and football are going to follow?
Yes.
And you're blowing it because you can't stay off the weed.
Yes, somebody had to do it first. And baseball, usually baseball, and this is actually...
Kind of a surprise, isn't it?
That's a bigger surprise than what I was expecting.
Baseball is always the last to adapt to anything. Yeah. Think of it, replay.
They're curmudgeon-y.
They come around at the very end of everything, right? And the NBA, it's what? The NBA does it first, the Major League Baseball does it last, but the NFL does it best. That's what they used to say.
Sounds good.
But baseball coming this first, another surprising part of it is that they're taking any suspension for it, mm-hmm. and they're saying, you're back. If anybody that is currently mm-hmm. suspended or has been banned, they're saying, nope, no counties. You can come in
certainly
and be back.
Yeah, they're going to test for other illicit street drugs. They're going to also test for excessive use of opiates, which is obviously, that's a major, bigger concern than I think marijuana at this point. Not condoning any whatever you want to look at it. But I think that it is cool that Major League Baseball is starting to try to conform to thinking about what is the major issues with sports and how people are dealing with not only just drug and what they're doing with opiates, but how everybody just self-medicates.
Well,
in that. And sports is right in the limelight, and they have to take it. And these guys are coming out and doing that, and they're using it and doing whatever they can. I always say to each their own. You need to try your own research and do the things that's best for you. But I always think that it's time. It's time to start evaluating what's going to be good for the future for athletics.
And team doctors are now going to be sharing a little bit of culpability here. I mean, the reason why baseball is doing this is in part because Tyler Skaggs died in a hotel room on mm-hmm. the road due to an opioid mm-hmm. addiction. And the team was fueling it mm-hmm. because he was getting pills from
yeah.
team staff members, right? So there's going to be some accountability now for franchises, team doctors, that, hey, we're testing for this stuff and you can't be abusing it. Like, you have to be using it the right way, not just a, oh, you have some soreness. We're going to, you know, fuel you up with a mm-hmm. bunch of painkillers and that you're going to get addicted
legal,
to.
Yeah, like I said, we're going to get into this discussion over and over again until it's all legal.
Yeah, but marijuana, now legal in Major League Baseball. So smoke them if you got them. The interesting part
or
about
eat him if you got him or eat him. You have to do whatever you edible. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not any of that. I'm a CBD taker. I don't do any of that other stuff. But if it works for you and you need that for pain management and itself, is it better than opiates? I don't know. I'm not going to get into that discussion. I don't have enough depth of doctor experience. All I know is that none of it is safe.
The part
in abuse.
The part that nothing is safe in abuse though.
Absolutely.
I mean, anything, things that are legal.
100%.
But here is what I don't have a. Can't wrap my head around with Major League Baseball's drug testing policy mm-hmm. is that they're going to be testing for cocaine, opioids, and then synthetic THC. But what I can't figure out is the wording in it is very odd in that you won't be subject to testing for those drugs
yeah.
unless you've done something to warrant the testing for those drugs.
So you have to get in the program of some sort.
But how do you get in the program if they're not testing you for it?
That's a great question. Maybe it has to come up on multiple tests where it looks like it's there. I don't know. There's got to be parameters. There's going to be negotiated by players and certainly all those things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I sat there and I read it and I'm like, wait, how does that happen? So they're going to still test for PEDs. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's in. They know they're going to get that. But then like the street drugs, it's surprising that they haven't been testing for cocaine.
But isn't, before. I mean, if we're going to get into this deep dive, I know we get super drug serious this morning.
Y'all okay. won't buy some
what
drugs.
Is going to be considered a performance-enhancing drug? And that's, I'd love to see, okay, where the delineation line, where that line is what's performance-enhancing. Is
doesn't
marijuana
WADA,
considered?
Yeah. WADA is the,
they use
the FDA
that,
do that.
Understandable, but I mean, well, where is that going to be that line? What I mean, if it is an opiate performance-enhancing drug? They've never drawn that out. Okay, we all know that certain things are and certain things aren't. Advils.
Get you back on the field. Get you performing. I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's the wrong person, man. Just let them take it.
We should all just be clean. Drink water.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, boy. And that's the thing that is funny to me is that, like, there's the people that'll be the righteous. Oh, you performance-enhancing drugs, the worst of the worst in sports. It's ruining our games. No, it's not. There's plenty of other things that are ruining the game.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the games are fine anymore. I get caught up in getting on the pulpit and start preaching at everybody, telling them what to do and what to do about. You know, it's your body. If you're dumb enough to put stuff in your body, you got to pay the repercussions and do whatever you need to do. I'm full example of but it's the trust and the knowledge that we didn't have that we now have about the drugs. Mm. Nobody had that kind of knowledge prior.
True that.
You can go all the way back to World War II when they were taking meth. To be able to fight.
The Nazis were given meth.
Yeah, meth. Meth pills. That was, so they could say it was part of Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, that was Hitler's Blitzkrieg was hop him up on meth, folks.
I was like, oh, that's fine. It's just a little bit of an upper. And like you said, greenies and uppers and all those things. Now we know. Now you know. Now you have a choice.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's drug talk. Let's get to sports-ish.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Big day in sports history today. On this date, 2014, the 80th Heisman Trophy Award was given to Marcus Mariota, quarterback, University of Oregon. This date in sports history, 2014. 5 years ago.
It seemed like a long time ago.
It does. It seems like a really long time ago was the Heisman Trophy winner. It was only 5 years.
It's not that long.
Yep.
But it does. But it's not that long ago. The decade's already over.
Yeah.
In a couple weeks, the decade is over. What are you going to most remember about this decade? What's this decade known for? We know what the 90s are. It's bad. Bad. It's flannel.
Oh, this is the social media era. This is the social media decade.
This is the yeah.
Like you I think can you're say right. It's the 2000s, but yeah. That was just like Facebook and MySpace. The 2010s, our lives got taken over by social media.
We need a word for it. It's the gram time.
The social era.
Social? Nah. Selfie time. Selfie time.
Selfie time? Go a different route.
Insta chat.
We just have Bill Belichick do it. Snap face. Snap Insta face. Chat, Insta chat. Blah, blah, blah. All right.
It's already been addressed.
Let's get this show on the road. How do you stop the Baltimore Ravens? My God, they're a juggernaut. Dustin Cam on the fan. Another dominating performance by the Baltimore Ravens last night. They trounced the Jets 42-21. Lamar Jackson passes Michael Vick as single season all-time rushing leader by a quarterback. He's really good. How do you stop the Baltimore Ravens right now? They've won 10 in a row.
I think you kind of saw what Buffalo decided to do. That's about the only thing. And a little bit of San Francisco. And I certainly can't wait to see we're going to see a rematch in the Super Bowl right now. I'm calling it. It's going to be San Francisco and the Ravens.
Aww.
We're just going to see a rematch. That's it. I mean, I'm already locked into that one. I don't see anybody beating San Francisco in the NFC right now. It's kind of how I see it.
Feels great, baby.
And certainly, I don't think the Ravens are going to lose. I think they're going to steamroll through the AFC.
You know, there is...
Now, I mean, I can throw a caveat in there because I think Kansas City is the only team that's going to give them a little bit of fever. And that, if we get a chance to see Kansas City and Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, sign me up, because that would be exciting and I'd love to see it. Don't need to see the Patriots because, by the way, their offense stinks.
I heard Trey Wingo say something this morning that I went, whoa, is that right? He mentioned that the last three teams that have gone on 10-game winning streaks during the regular season have failed to win the Super Bowl.
I know, because we're talking about Dallas Cowboys.
Chiefs, Saints, Cowboys. Yeah. And then I went back and I looked. I'm like, okay, because he went 18, 17, 16. I went back to 2015. Mm-hmm. The New England Patriots won 10 in a row. They did not win the Super Bowl either.
Well, you know, history can be a benchmark for a lot of things you want to look at. I still think that this Ravens team is not just destiny. They're just playing really well.
But I know you think that, though, but we also said that about all of these teams. Remember, the Chiefs were this buzzsaw, the Saints and the Cowboys, that nobody trusts the Cowboys ever, and we shouldn't.
Yeah.
But there is kind of something to that, like, you're playing this well, how do you face adversity, right? And the way that the Ravens are just throttling teams, they haven't seen that yet.
Well, they're playing with a lot of confidence. They faced it versus Buffalo. Buffalo just didn't have enough talent. So this is what Buffalo did, and I think this is, you know, a couple of other NFL analysts have put this together, and I agree with it too, is that the only way to really go after, you have to trust that your personnel, but you have to play with zero coverage, which is man across the board, and zero means, in all layman's terms, is that it gives you one free guy, and the free safety comes down in the box, and he accounts for Lamar Jackson. So you're going to play a lot of man-man. You're going to have to trust that your backers are as good as the tight ends, and that you're going to be able to stop Mark Ingram in the backfield with some of your backers and some of your defensive ends. And then you're going to have the kind of freedom with a safety to be able to gauge where Lamar Jackson is. Now, of course, it sounds good on paper, but Buffalo put it to work, and they did a really good job with it. And their defense is excellent, and they did a good job. They had a chance to tie the game at the end. They just don't have any talent on offense. And I'm not kidding you, is that if Buffalo had some more offensive talent, they'd be right there with one of the better teams in the AFC. They just don't. And so when that's now on the blueprint, The Jets are dreadful. Stop telling me Greg Williams is this guy. Fine. Greg Williams, that staff is, I can't imagine that staff being together next year. I would bet if I was any intelligent coach or any leadership of the Jets, I would hire Mike McCarthy tomorrow, which he will get a job. He's in line to get one of the five jobs that I think he gets.
You used intelligent and Jets in the same sentence.
No, I get that. But Mike McCarthy's going to be back in this league very quickly, and he would do worlds of wonder for Sam Darnold. But I think zero coverage is about all you can do. Because if you're going to play zone, Lamar Jackson's going to eat you up. If you're going to try to spy a linebacker, nobody can stand with him. And if you're going to let a defensive end try to, well, I'm going to hold my gap, and I'm going to make sure I come upfield, and I'm going to flush him back to everybody to the inside, he's going to shimmy shake you to death, and it's going to be, you're just hoping they make mistakes. That's right. All you're hoping for.
Well, then you look at it, though, what team can do that? Because that is the question.
Well,
because
New England did it. They just couldn't do anything on offense.
And that is the double-edged sword
there. San
Francisco can do it, but Kansas City can't do it on the outside, though. I mean, they've got Rashad Breeland,
They can score.
But how do you stop them, the Baltimore Ravens? Because they can score right along with the best of the best.
Yeah, they can. I mean, Lamar Jackson throws five touchdowns and breaks Michael Vick's all-time rushing record at quarterback on the same day. Versus the lowly Jets. I don't care who it is. That's still an NFL franchise, and it's a good team-ish. They're still pros. I don't know if I'm Old Man River also, but the line of autographs at the end of the game.
You don't like that?
I mean, it's fine.
Is there anything a little bit embarrassing about getting your butt whooped by a team and then going and begging for that guy's autograph?
I think on the field, Buck, there is.
That's almost like... Oh my God. You know, I was starstruck too.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was starstruck. Somebody was like, oh my God, that's Jerry Rice. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's John Elway. I'm playing against John Elway. But I didn't walk over to him and ask him for an autograph because I'm like, that's awkward. And well, I don't know why you do that.
Why can't you go over to him and just dap him up and say, hey man, really love what you do.
I always did that. You know? I always walked up to Mr. Elway. I love, he's like, it's good. Yeah. And yeah, he's like, gives you the shake. He's like, that's cool. Some guys didn't even want to talk pregame. Postgame, I always kind of would like, hey, man, that's Jerry Rice.
Well, you can do that, too. Dap him up and be like, hey, man, can you sign a jersey in the tunnel? Can we send somebody over?
But this is about social media and looking at, they have like eight jerseys out there. What, did he have a trunk?
Yeah.
He brought a trunk to him.
He does. They started bringing out his road jerseys. And did you see, though, Odell Beckham's Instagram post he made a couple of weeks ago?
No.
He went and it was him walking down the stairs into his basement and lining the entire wall of his man cave down his jerseys, which is cool.
I can't say that's not
that cool. is cool. But it's the cool. reason why he has all of those, because Odell Beckham is jersey exchange guy number one. Like he does that all the time with the sign and trade thing. And it's a really cool thing when you get them matted and you get them framed and you have them all up.
It's been around a long time.
But just do it.
Guys did it when I was there. I mean, I remember Warren Sapp. We had a quarterback out of Michigan State. His name was Jeff Smoker.
Sweet.
We
name.
Played him in the preseason.
I remember that guy. Didn't he have a problem smoking things too?
He did. Yeah. Well, he did. But anyway,
were you talking weed or crack or cigarettes?
I think he had a bunch of stuff. I think he was weed. I think he had opiates. I think he was.
It was Jeff Smoker, and we played the Ravens in the preseason. At the end of the game, we're walking off the field. I'm walking by Jeff. We beat him, and all of a sudden, Warren Sapp just comes just screaming right up. Says, "Bro, I gotta have that jersey, dude. Smoke it, man, smoke it." He said, give me that jersey, and then they exchanged jersey, and he got a Warren Sapp jersey.
Wow. That's pretty sweet.
I mean, if you like Warren Sapp.
I did.
But Warren Sapp was sure to be like, give me that smoker.
He probably has that in his man cave.
Oh,
like,
God, you know
guy.
He does.
Look
you know, and that's guy. Been around a long time.
Look at this guy. All right, 5-5.
But that was a little, can we say that was a little egregious? A bunch of guys just saying, hey, Lamar.
Yes, it was.
Lamar. Unless they're all getting it signed for their foundations guys. Or they're going to auction for some good charities. I'm thinking those are going in the man cave.
Again, do it in the tunnel.
I was also wondering who was holding Von Miller's football jersey all night while he was watching a basketball game against Damian Lillard. I mean, Von Miller wasn't playing last night, but he had one of his jerseys there for Dame. So who was holding that jersey all night?
He was in.
I don't know.
Jersey.
Von Miller's brother.
Have it tucked under his seat.
The baseball guys don't do jersey exchanges, do they? I've never seen a baseball guy yet. Jersey exchange.
We'll find out.
We know basketball guys do.
No, they just do the farewell tours where you get something from every single city that you go to.
You do a shoe swap?
Would baseball traditionalists be all bent out of shape if guys, that's against the old-fashioned rules of the game. 100%. How dare they fraternize with each other?
Ty Cobb would have slit his throat. Yeah, you're right, because Ty Cobb was a jerk.
Yeah.
All right. Football Q&A. Do it every single Friday. 55305. The better you. Today, text line. Get your football questions in the hopper. Dusty and Cam, here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
55305. The Better You Today text line. Football Q&A. Do it every single Friday. Football questions and answers. Here's P1 Anthony. We were just talking about Lamar Jackson. He says, do you think Lamar Jackson will hold up as an elite quarterback 10 years from now?
Here's kind of my take on it. I think Lamar Jackson right now is, he is doing something that we've seen before in the NFL, but he's doing it at such a high pace because nobody's quite prepared for his hyper-athleticism and intelligence, work ethic, size, speed, all of that. But we've seen big, unbelievable athletes. Randall Cunningham, Cam Newton, Michael Vick. We've seen guys be this athletic. Vince Young, I've seen this. Colin Kaepernick. And I've said this before. I need more RG3. I need more than just one sample size. Now, if they go on to win the Super Bowl and he continues that, I do know that this league, and you get older, and older means you don't get faster, you actually get slower, and also that every year younger and younger players come into the league, and that's just part of how it works. There's just always going to be influx of young players that are bigger, faster, stronger. The evolution of athlete is always going to change. So, with that being said, can I predict 10 years? Elite? Elite's a big word. It's a big word. It's a huge word. And I think you don't get elite status until you show me a minimum. Really? At a certain point in time, you got to have a minimum 2 to 3 seasons of playing at a, I don't know, the MVP level, but like a Super Bowl winning level.
Well, yeah. I mean, Cam Newton had this conversation around him, and of course, you know, his body's been taking the beating and he's not the player. Remember, Cam Newton was an MVP.
Yep.
Cam Newton was on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl for the Carolina Panthers.
Made guys look stupid too. He was
big. Made guys look stupid.
He ran over linebackers. He did things that you're not supposed to do as a quarterback. Remember when Ed Hockley said, you're not going to get that kind of call around here.
And he may be on the outs in Carolina. You know, like,
time tells.
There's obviously going to be a big decision with the head coach, new head coach coming in. But we have seen, you know, 1, 2, and even 3 year samples. But 10 years from now, how he holds up. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine last night. He's like, you know, Michael Vick, like, because all the comparisons to Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick came out. And he's like, Michael Vick was like just that freelancer guy, you know? And he's like, there's a lot of comparisons to how good Lamar Jackson is in comparing him. And he was bringing up kind of what you were. He's like, Vick actually did it for a few years. Mm-hmm. What I think is so impressive about Lamar Jackson is, Michael Vick took the world by surprise, right? Like, nobody had seen that kind of guy do what he was doing. In football now, the players have gone against spread offenses. The NFL coaches have seen the running quarterback a lot more in a lot more of these play designs, and they still can't stop Lamar Jackson, which is terrifying to think of how freakishly athletic he must be. If you have some of the best defensive minds in the world trying to stop him, and they still can't do it.
Yeah, but they will. I mean, the league has always proved it. It's just a matter of time. Now, how do they evolve and how do the Ravens evolve and change? We all know that a system can be stopped. Mm-hmm. From the run and shoot to the Eric Coryell to the wishbone to the T offense to everything to the spread, everything will eventually evolve and change, and teams will come up with schemes and designs. Thing is, if Lamar Jackson stays healthy at his level for the next 4 years at that level, I don't care what scheme you put out there. There's not athletes that can match up with him. There's not enough yet. Will there be? Guys, remember when corners were 5'10", 180? Mm-hmm. They're now 6'4", 205, 210, 220. Everything is different. If you're going to see, just to put Lamar Jackson, there's going to be different facets of players to be able to do it. Thing is about Baltimore is if you're going to try to stop Lamar Jackson with one guy, they got too many other weapons right now that they can just take advantage. He threw for 5 touchdowns last night.
Yes. Yes, he did. And his tight end is, they got
three
really good tight ends. And
they got a great running back.
Marquise Brown is that lightning bug that just shoots down the field. But, you know, circling back to what you said on the NFL catching up to everybody, like that kind of goes back to they've already started to figure out how to do it in with other quarterbacks, and they still are having problems with Lamar Jackson. It will be, what will be the fix? Ah, man, that's going to be a fascinating one to find out. But then you bring up three tight ends and a power running game to go along with it.
Yeah.
You have to commit guys to stopping Mark Ingram in that run game. And when you do that, there goes Lamar Jackson off the other edge.
We do this in sports so many times. We do it as fans. We just want to anoint somebody. Go, oh, it's a shiny. We never seen this. I can't believe it. He's incredible. It's the greatest thing. It's going to last forever. We did it with Kaepernick. I remember sitting around listening to guys tell me Kaepernick is going to change the way quarterbacks play in the future. Guess who won a bunch of Super Bowls after that? Tom Brady. Joe Flacco beat him in the Super Bowl. Let's pump the brakes on what... I mean, Lamar Jackson is great, but it's a regular season run. Let's see how they match up in the playoffs. Let's wait and see if they can beat Patrick Mahomes, which they didn't beat this year, who's the reigning MVP, and can fling it all, and he has the best arm talent in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close!
But could you argue, though, that when you're saying the Kaepernick will change the way that quarterbacks play, that running around, creating time, freelancing, freestyle-ish offense is what we're seeing a lot of the young quarterbacks do, like Lamar Jackson, like Patrick Mahomes, and those likes? Where
we're just seeing more guys can run and move. Play quarterback that never did play quarterback. It used to be... You put the fast guys, the quick guys at running back, and you put them at wide receiver, and you said, let the quarterback just get it to him in space and let them make moves. Now it's like, hey, wait a minute. We can extend a play for another 2 seconds with our athlete because there's 11 guys on the field, and a quarterback accounts as one. But most of the time, quarterbacks aren't running threats, so that gives you an extra defender to try to drop into coverage, and it says, oh, we'll just take the quarterback out. No problem. He's not a threat. Once you change that threat, now it's like, gosh, dang it, we got to account for him always in the run game. It changes how you scheme. They just need time to catch up, but it's really a matchup issue.
And that right there is my question about it, is that maybe that's what the guys were saying about quarterbacks changing, is that they did say, oh my God, that can work in the NFL when they saw Kaepernick. Now they're getting better. Like he's not, Colin Kaepernick was not the best to do that, but
it's never proven.
They showed that they could be successful doing it because he got to a Super Bowl and almost won it.
But it hasn't yet, and I say that with a big giant yet, it hasn't yet been proven a sustainable model for more than 4 to 5 seasons.
55305, the better you today text line. Football Q&A, including a big award handed out last night. Your questions coming in on the better you today text line. College football questions next. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Beat you.
All right, 55305, better you today text line. This text, why haven't the Power 5 conferences broken away from non-Power 5 conferences? I mean, come on. They could separate themselves by not allowing them to play in a New Year's Six Bowl. And an 18 playoff scenarios I've heard include non-Power 5. Why do they keep them there? I don't know.
What's financial?
It's a have and have nots. What does it do for them financially?
When a team that plays... They have to share revenue. It's like kicking your buddy a solid, because when Portland State or any of these other smaller teams, or just like if you said a Mountain West team, you go on the road and play Wyoming on the road,
right?
You share revenue, television. I mean, because to get those games to play a Pac-12 team or an ACC or a Big 12, there's still money generating in that television, and that's kind of how it works. It's like you're kicking your buddy a solid.
But the thing is, why do you need to be why is the non-Power 5 in the Power 5? Under one umbrella of the FBS. They are so far apart from each other, they should be separate.
I know. I've argued this multiple times. I think just like every other division, there should be divisions within divisions. Just like you have NAIA, Division 1, Division 2, there should be a Division 1A, or you want to call it, I know there is a Division 1A, but if you want to create a whole new division outside the Power 5 that has their own national championship within.
Yeah.
So if you want to be South Florida, Central Florida, and win a national title, win it at that level. It's not an NIT. It's perfect. Just another level of football. Let the Power Fives get a chance. And then occasionally, let's say you get a great Boise State team or anything like that, and they get an at-large vote to get in.
You got to be good enough. I mean, no.
I don't even think that. I know. It'd be selfish of it like that. But why not create another division? Everyone else has divisions. We have 6A high school football here.
No. Why not?
I don't do it.
Well, that's what the question is. And the answer is there really is no reason, because the Power 5 schools actually do they operate on another set of rules. There's autonomy in the Power Five, stipends, cost of attendance, things like that. This text came in a little bit earlier. How about the first true sophomore ever to win the Outland Trophy?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Penae Sewell.
Yeah, it's awesome.
19 years old.
Yeah.
He won the Outland Trophy, which is given to the best interior lineman in the country, regardless of offense or defense. And Penae Sewell, the left tackle for the Oregon Ducks, beat out Auburn's Derrick Brown and Wisconsin center Tyler Bidas.
When's the last time we've had a tackle taken number one overall? Was it
No, Eric Fisher went number two.
Yeah, I don't think it was
I think it was from Miami. Michigan.
From Miami. He went to Miami, right?
No, Michigan.
Michigan?
Yeah.
Was it Long went number one?
Yeah, Jake Long, is it? I think it may that might be it.
Yeah. I remember we've had a couple before. I mean, Orlando Pace went number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
We might get a number one next year.
Yeah, next year. He's only 19 years old, which is terrifying part. He turned 19 2 months ago.
Right. He's so young. He's a stud. It's unbelievable how good he is.
He will be a 20-year-old true junior that will be eligible to be the number one overall pick on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Also, how about the Associated Press giving him co-player of the year honors in the vote all league voting?
He's an
All-American by every sense of the word.
Here's a would you rather early on a Friday. Would you rather be voted by your peers or by media?
What do you mean by peers?
Peers is the coaches, is the all Pac-12, is the Pac-12 votes.
By the coaches or
would
the
you
media?
Rather be voted by media? Which one matters more?
I think that the, like...
No, I'm not saying, yeah.
We know how coaches vote for things. It's a support staffer that usually does it.
I don't.
In their building. Their top 25, their conference voting. They have somebody and they're just like, a lot of times it's like, fill this out. I have more important stuff to do.
I think that it means something to them. I don't think they throw it aside when it came to first, second, honorable mention, and coaches and stuff. I think that the coaches actually do. But I didn't think they gave it to some GA to fill it out.
You think so?
I think so. I think it means something to them a little bit. I'm just asking this as equivalent.
Did
you want the AP
part.
Notification or recognition, or do you want to be voted in by your peers?
And that's the amazing thing, though, is that guys like Hamakar Rashid, who from Oregon State, who is a second team All Pac-12, is a All American, I think, three times over now. He's second team All American on the Walter Camp All Americans. He's second team All American, yet was second team All Pac-12. Like, those don't, like, they don't equate. Calvin Throckmorton was honorable mention All League, yet he's getting All America votes.
Yeah. Hey.
Like,
it doesn't make any
that
sense.
That doesn't compute.
Well, no, it does. It's just, that's kind of how things work around here. There's no metric on how you vote. It's subjective.
Yep.
So subjective. Go try to find me metrics that tell you how to balance things subjectively. There's no such thing.
Penae Sewell, by the way, did not allow a sack. And he also only allowed 7 pressures all season long. That's pretty good for your left tackle. Mm-hmm.
I read that Throckmorton from the tackle spot on the other side did not allow a sack either.
Right.
So both tackles, left and right, did not allow a single sack all season.
Is that according to Pro Football Focus,
yeah.
or is that because of that?
Yeah.
Which, again, is a subjective point of view depending on how the coaches view and one O-line coaches does that. But there is no question that those two guys are very, very good offensive linemen.
Yeah. Oregon has touted that as well about Throckmorton in Sewell not giving up a sack all year in their game.
They
notes
are
and
talented.
Stuff. So
and
it's
they,
their yeah. coaches as well. Not
they
just
deserve all that recognition.
Yeah, they're pretty dang good. And Penae Sewell, he's going to go down. Think of this. Like, this text comes in. It's like, how much can you attribute the success of Sewell to Cristobal? Well, I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. But Mario Cristobal brought Penae Sewell and was like, I want that guy. Mm-hmm. He was his prize, and he went out and he got him. And kid has been impressive since day one.
You have talent or you're not. He has size, he has athleticism, and he has talent, and he has a fight, and he has strength. He has every intangible you can imagine. That now you want to put that into a drive and a personal drive. That is all built into some of the, like, just super, super football player. Coach Cristobal can just say, hey, go and do this. But it's always on the athlete at that point in time. Sometimes you just got to let him go. And that kid... He's as good as left tackle as I've ever seen.
And all it took was losing that baby fat, you know?
Yeah, you good luck with that one.
Yeah, that's all it took.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now he's the Outland Trophy winner. Man, it's amazing.
Maybe it was your motivation that did it.
Maybe. Maybe it was.
Maybe.
All right, 55305, the better you today, text line. More of your football Q&As coming up next hour. We'll have Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, joining us. And Larry Scott speaks, and oh boy, he did it again. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.